One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
So literally, like, I've got all my earrings in one drawer, all my bangles in another, like, all, you know, all my rings in another. So literally, when I'm getting ready now, I'm like, right, get the outfit, I'm looking in the drawers, and I'm just can just put, you know, the accessories on that go with. And then what I've done with all my mannequin heads and wigs on, so rather than just having, like, all my headbands, sunglasses, necklaces and everything in drawers or cupboards, all on my mannequin heads, so literally.
You've accessorized the mannequins. Oh my lord, I need a picture of that, please. I need a picture of the mannequins.
I think there's definitely like a lot of brands now, you know, that are doing like more inclusive sizes, or they're doing, can I just think, you know, why even do like a separate curve range or a plus range? Just extend your sizes, you know, because just because I'm a size 20 or whatever, doesn't mean that I won't wear something that a size 10 person is going to wear, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you don't have to, you know, obviously adapt the shape and adapt the pattern so it fits my body, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to, you know, I will wear a bodycon dress, I'll wear something tight,
yes.
I'll get my arms out, I'll get my legs out, whatever.
Hello, I'm Kat Farmer, also known as Does My Bum Look 40, and welcome to my podcast, Get Changed, where we uncover fashion secrets, fashion faux pas, and fashion foibles, and how fashion can make a difference to you. Today, we are chatting with the wonderful Siobhan Murphy from Interior Curve. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello, my darling. This is all exciting, isn't it?
Isn't it? Is it? And I feel sort of cheated. I feel people are sort of cheated by only being able to listen to you rather than being able to see you, because visually, you are literally a joy. I mean, I never, ever, ever look at you without smiling, ever.
Oh, that's so kind. I don't know, though. Maybe if you was kind of like seeing me now, just like in my scruffs, it's a little bit different than kind of what you see on the gram, isn't it? We kind of show our best sides, our best selves, you know, all the colour. You know, 90% of the time, I'm at home, I'm in my trackies, you know, the hair's up in a scrunchie, and, you know, it's all very plain. But obviously, every time I step foot outside the house, the colour goes on, you know.
You say that, but can I just say now, you're sat here, people would think you are a very, you know, you give the impression of being a very vanilla individual, but you're sat there with this most incredible pink, purple, I mean, your hair is just a thing of pure and utter beauty.
Yeah, so the hair thing, I've been doing like for quite a few years, like different colours and everything. But in lockdown, obviously, we couldn't get to the hairdressers, could we? So it was all a bit, right, okay, well, what am I going to do? You know, the roots were like 4 inches deep. But so I actually started wearing a lot of wigs. So now I have got like, I think I've got like about 20 wigs. So I've got like in my office, I've got like all these big mannequin heads just with different wigs. Because in lockdown, I know, I was filming the show, I was filming Interior Design Masters. And it was like literally like every week, you know, we're in the studio, I was thinking like, what outfit am I going to wear? You know, sometimes that was kind of, I wouldn't say more important than the interior design, but, you know, it was kind of on my mind. It was kind of like, right, okay, smash this design out of the park, but also, what am I going to wear on studio day? Because everybody, you know, like every week people were like, what's Siobhan going to be wearing? What wig's she going to be wearing? That's the thing about fashion, isn't it? And wigs and hair and everything. It kind of, you can be a bit of a chameleon, can't you? And just change it up every week. So that's why I love having different coloured hair, but also that's why I love the wigs, because you can just, you know, slap a wig on there and suddenly it's like, right, okay, who am I feeling today?
So going back though, so thinking way, way, way back when, and I mean, so your earliest fashion memory, because I mean, I can project myself into your head and think, well, you must have always been like that. But have you, I mean, when you were young, I mean, a little girl, I mean, did you have a fashion icon? I mean, where did this incredible, you know, you're just like the most beautiful bird, which I hope doesn't sound like it. I mean, you're just like a peacock, you're just gorgeous. But where did that come from? I mean, did it was when you were little?
So I was just brought up by my mum, single mum. She didn't have a lot of money, but any money that she had, and she'd work like, you know, 3 jobs sometimes, any money that she had, she would buy clothes for me. So she would go to these like little boutiques and she'd buy me all these beautiful like little Rara skirts and all, you know, like these beautiful pieces. I think she's kept quite a few. She's even kept quite a lot of my little shoes from when I was younger. But also she'd make things. So my grandma was a sewer. My mum's quite a good sewer. So again, like, you know, she'd buy something maybe from like, you know, one of these nice boutiques. She'd save to buy, you know, like a really nice outfit. Because I guess back in those days, it wasn't like now where you can just, you know, nip to Primark or get a little cute outfit in the supermarket. Then it was like, it was, you know, these things were quite expensive if you wanted something different. So then what she'd do is she'd kind of like then, you know, if I grew out of it, she'd take it apart and then make, you know, buy some fabric and make me another outfit. So I guess like I've always been introduced into fashion in that way, and always thought, you know, I'd really like to, you know, like cute outfits. And I guess I was always quite strong-willed, much to my mum's dismay, in terms of, you know, what I would want to wear and what I wouldn't wear. But my biggest style icon when I was growing up was Madonna, like literally.
Oh.
Just such an icon, isn't she? And like, I just kind of saw that, you know, even as a kid, how she just like reinvented herself, you know, like all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she'd bring out one single and it was like a prayer, and she'd have all this dark hair and, you know, the crucifixes and like the, you know, really sexy black clothes. And then the next minute, you know, there'd be something else and she'd have, you know, a cropped blonde wig, you know, or like a hair cropped really short and like denim shorts.
Or like the Material Girl in that pink, God. In that cerise, fuchsia, and that hair. I mean, she was Marilyn Monroe, but she was Madonna. I mean, that for me, I mean, I know you can keep me desperately seeking Susan. For me, that was, oh my Lord, I want to be that beautiful.
Yeah, the long gloves. It's the long satin gloves and the pearls, isn't it? Have you ever worn long satin gloves? Like literally as soon as you put them on, you feel like some kind of goddess. They've got like magical powers.
Bring back the silk gloves.
Well, yeah, but you know, you mentioned there desperately seeking Susan. And again, for me, the jacket and the earrings. You know, when she goes into that and she finds that vanity box and she opens it up and it's like a Pandora's box with all this cool stuff in. Oh my God. And then the jacket, that little crop with the puff sleeve and then the like motif on the back. Literally, I can remember being like a teen watching that and thinking, I really just need that jacket, you know. So I guess, you know, again, back in those days, we didn't have Instagram. We didn't have like the internet. No. So all my kind of fashion inspiration was magazines, films, you know, a bit of TV, but you know,
music.
That was a lot from from pop, like pop culture, pop music.
Definitely. And did your mom, so did she spend all her money on you, or was she herself? Did she make things for herself as well?
Not really, no. It was
it
was all for me. And even to this day, she still makes me stuff. So I'll be like, oh, I've seen this really nice fabric, and she's like, what do you want me to make you? And she would never really sew for herself. But yeah, she will always, she'd always make me something. And then she'll be like, oh, bloody hell, Siobhan, that was a right bugger to sew. You always choose like the most like ridiculous, like slippery fabric or, you know, silk or whatever.
Were you asking her to make her things? Or did she say, Siobhan, I think, you know, we should do the Rara skirt. Who is the leader in this fashion house?
So I think when I was little, it was obviously my mum. And now I'm kind of like, Mom, can you get your sewing machine now? Here's some fabric, can you make me a caftan, or you know, that kind of thing. And it's really nice. And then obviously, like, when she sees me wearing it, she's like, oh, you know, like, I think, you know, that's kind of nice for her as well, isn't it, that she's like, well, actually, you know, I made that, I created something, and that's just really special, isn't it?
I mean, clearly, I mean, I reckon she can actually take so much, sorry, I'm actually giving your mum loads of credit now, so much credit for, you know, for your creative. I mean, I think if you're surrounded by creative people, chances are you are going to, you know, you're going to morph into being a much more creative person, because that's in your nature.
Yeah, definitely. And my grandma, she was an oil painter, actually. So,
oh, look at you, Lord.
She was an artist. I mean, to be honest, that was like a hobby. She worked in a bacon factory when she was younger. I'm making this sound a lot more glamorous than it was. so she did loads of beautiful oil paintings, and then like on a weekend she'd sell them at like these art fairs and things like that. So yeah, and I think, you know, it's just being crafty, and I guess like growing up, like not having like loads and loads of money, I think it makes you a bit more creative, because you're kind of thinking, right, well, how do I get that high-end look that I've seen in Vogue magazine or whatever? but I haven't got the Vogue, you know, purse.
Yeah.
So how do I get that look when, you know, I've got, you know, smaller budget? And I think that makes you more creative. But I've just never been a good sewer. Like, and I wish I was, and I would really like to do some sewing courses, actually. Even when I was at fashion college, like, I was great at the designs. I loved the drawings. I loved sketching stuff out and all that kind of stuff. But when it came to the pattern cutting and the actual manufacturing of the garments, I don't know, it just didn't have the appeal for me. And I don't know if it was like, you know, when it's, you know, sometimes in your head, if you kind of think, I can't do that, and you've got like a bit of a block.
That's me with anything technical.
But yeah, so I don't know if it was just that I had like this kind of block and that's kind of just continued. Because usually, like, I'm kind of, you know, I kind of just go with it and I can make something and I'm, you know, I'm quite creative and quite crafty. But just when it comes to sewing, I don't know, there's just something.
Oh, I think it's a gift.
It's a real skill, isn't it?
I mean, come back to the technical. I mean, looking at a sewing machine fills me with abject dread and horror. I mean, I just look at it and think, I remember my mom. Years, you know, what do you have to do with the cotton? You have to do something to it, and you have to.
Oh, yeah, you've got to do it like on that
thread it.
Thing, yeah, and then your needles break, and yeah, it is a skill. It's a definite skill.
So you mentioned Desperately Seeking Susan's, Madonna's jacket in Desperately Seeking Susan. When you grew up, when you were in your teen years, and I think pretty much everybody had it, there was one item, you know, that the older kids wore, or that, you know, the grown-up, like your mum's friends or whoever it was, you saw someone on telly wear. What was that one thing that you thought, if I have that, my life will be complete? That is the fashion statement I want to be making.
Gosh, do you know what? That's a really tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously, like, as a teen, you know, we were going through, you know, I was going through that whole, like, you wear stuff to fit in, don't you? You know,
yeah.
I guess, you know, a lot of the time. And, you know, even though I was really interested in design and fashion, you know, I think a lot of the time I kind of just wore what other people, you know, my peers, my friends, what they were wearing, really. I think, you know, I think as a kid, sometimes you can be a bit of a sheep, really, can't you?
Yeah.
And actually, if you start wearing, you know, some of the things that you want to wear, some of the more out there things, you kind of think, oh God, you know, what are my friends going to say? Whereas, you know, when you get older, you know, that kind of, you know, it's just different, isn't it? Because you kind of just like wear what you want, and that comes with confidence.
It's interesting you say that though, because actually I still think some people do that.
Yeah.
You know, I still, I mean, you know, you and I are in positions where we don't, but I still think loads of people actually do wear things because they think, you know, this is like it's almost like a uniform that I think that people feel, if I wear this, then I will be inconspicuous and I will. And I think it's a sign of having a lack of confidence that, you know, you feel you need to wear things to, you know, to fit in. I mean, I remember when I was younger and they would, you know, with kids, they talk about, you know, like school, we can't wear that at the school gates. And I'm like, why not? Why not? Why do I have to live in gym gear or rain? You know,
yeah.
So I don't think that ever leaves. But is there not? So there's nothing that you can think of like that one.
So I used to love, and you probably did the same. So like in my, was it like late teens probably?
When were you late teens?
I'm like 43 now. So.
Okay. So yeah.
So, but I was obsessed with Absolutely Fabulous. So, and I love, you know, like everybody was like, oh my God, look what Adina's wearing. And I'd be like, oh my God, I absolutely love like everything. And then like Bubbles would come in and people would be like laughing. And I'd be thinking, actually, like, I think that looks really cool.
I love that. I can actually see. I mean, that is, I can actually see now. If you were to say to me, did you know that Siobhan's icons were Bubbles and Adina? I'd be like, I get that. I see you've taken the, you know, you've sort of taken what they wear it and made it really wearable, and you have an ownership with it that doesn't look foolish at all. You look incredible.
I'm still coveting the, you know, the like the Christian Lacroix, you know, the crucifix earrings, and like she used to have like, you know, these big like gold earrings with all the jewels. I'm always going on eBay just having a look to see if they're ridiculously expensive now. I wish I'd have actually bought them like in the 90s.
Siobhan, you need to get someone making them for you.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. You need to get a collaboration. Siobhan's Abfab Jewelry.
And yeah, and Patsy, obviously, she was always like pretty cool, wasn't she? You know, with that big, you know, that huge like beehive, always looking immaculate. Well, maybe not after a few bottles of Bolly, but
she still did though, didn't she? She still had an innate style.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think, you know, what she wore, I mean, it was very of its era, but it was, you know, I mean, it was, she's, yeah. I mean, she could, everyone can rock a Patsy every now and again. Definitely. Oh, I love that. So when did you get into fashion? I mean, obviously it sounds like you've always, always really been into fashion. I mean, I know that you went to, then you went to fashion college.
Yeah. So I had, it's really funny actually, because my mum came around the other day and she was like, did that delivery come? And I was like, what do you mean? And she'd ordered me a fashion wheel. Can you remember fashion wheels? So I had a fashion wheel when I was a kid. And obviously it went by the wayside. So my mum actually bought me another one like a few weeks ago. So I've got my little fashion wheel again.
With the drawings in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really cool. So I've got that on my little shelf in the office. So yeah, so literally from, I would say from primary school, I was drawing fashions. I was, you know, a lot of them would be like, you know, the ball gowns, fishtail kind of, you know, dresses. Yeah. So, and then I'd get my little pals to do the same, because obviously I was into it. So I'd be like, right, let's do some fashions. And I'd be like, right, okay, the theme is swimwear, or the theme is red carpet or whatever. So then we'd all draw a fashion, and then we'd get the boys in the class to mark them out of 10.
Is brilliant.
And I've actually still got every single one. So I've literally got a box. I'm gonna have to dig them out now. Okay,
we need photos of these.
Yeah, we'll get the photos. So I have got a box of all my fashion. Then I must have been like back from five, six, seven years old. I mean, look, literally, like, you look at them now and you're just like, oh my god. The funny thing was, though, the skimpy the outfit, the boys would mark them like higher scores.
Funny, so, that. funny hang that, on a minute, they're it? Seven. That's wrong. Hang on.
So we kind of like learned quite quickly. We were like doing all these like off the shoulder numbers and everything. But yeah, I'm going to have to dig them out actually now, aren't I?
Yes, please.
But yeah, so literally like fashion wheels, drawing fashion. Then I went to fashion college, worked in, so Harvey Nichols opened in Leeds.
I remember.
The very first one outside.
I lived there at the time.
Oh, did you? So 1996.
Yes.
So I was a Saturday girl there, and it was like literally one of my first jobs. It was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to be working in Harvey Nichols. It was like, there was such a buzz, like in the city, you know, like at that point, if you can remember.
Yes. Yes, it was amazing.
And like working there, you know, like with all these beautiful, beautiful things, you know, I think I was earning, you know, God, like literally like peanuts. So I would save. And, you know, every few months I would buy something, and it might be like a Gucci purse or, you know, something like that, a Gucci belt. But I worked on the Gucci.
I had the Gucci belt. Yes, the little tiny G.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when Tom Ford came on board, he brought out like that bigger G, didn't he? That like real like wide. And I was like, oh my God, I need one of those belts. So literally all my clothes would be from like Topshop or Dorothy Perkins. Because that was a time when it was like everybody just wore black, didn't they? You know, it was like black everywhere. But then, you know, Gucci bag, Gucci belt, I thought it was like the bee's knees, you know, I thought it was really been. Cool.
absolutely would have been. And you were at fashion college at the same time as working at?
Yes, yeah. So it was, pretty exciting time, really. And, you know, just seeing all the beautiful clothes, the designer stuff, you know, like on my break, I'd like go up because I worked on the ground floor. But like on my breaks, I'd like go upstairs and I'd be like, you know, looking at all the like beautiful designer clothes. And, you know, like some of them would have been like, you know, 6 months salary, probably, you know, probably at the time. But just being around that and you know, like seeing that kind of stuff was, yeah, it was really nice. And we'd always get the Mac girls to like do our faces. So we'd be like, you know, spraying the most expensive perfume. We'd be like, shh.
Oh, yes. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was good. So yeah, I've always had that. I've always been, you know, I've always had that interest in design and fashion.
But you didn't go into fashion.
Well, I should have done, really. And basically what happened was I went off to be a holiday rep in PR.
Lovely, as you do, get some sun.
And then when I came back, I got a job in the NHS and then literally just worked my way up and up and up and up. And, you know, I've had a great career in the NHS. And always kind of just did all my other stuff as a hobby, really. So,
and that's the millinery, because you're a qualified milliner, aren't you?
Yeah. So, that was, because I studied fashion and accessories at Leeds College of Art. One of the bits that I just really liked, because everybody else was like, oh, millinery. And I was like, no, you can go really wild with hats yes. and fascinators and everything. So I did that at college, and then I've been back 3 or 4 times to do like shorter like courses just to kind of keep my skill level up. And it would be really funny because like everybody would be, you know, working on these really, really tiny, small, intricate, you know, like headpieces. And I'd be there like coming in with like 5 meters of like cinema fabric. And the woman, the tutor would be like, oh God, what's Siobhan doing this week? And literally I would just be trying to make like the biggest, most like avant-garde, you know, headpiece. I can remember making this like huge bow. It must have been, oh God, I can't, you know, it was just absolutely ginormous. It was really heavy as well. But I was just like, I was kind of like, right, how can I push this? You know, like how can I do stuff, you know, something that's like a bit different. And, you know, working with cinema was really good because it comes like a fabric. Most things, if you buy a hat or if you buy like a fascinator, you know, it's kind of like,
That webbing stuff.
Yeah, it's like a bit webbing, okay. all the different colours.
Yes. So
what you do, it comes like a fabric, but then you spray it with water and then it becomes malleable. So then I used to like think of it like a clay or like, you know, like a sculpture.
Oh, wow. And then
when it dries, it just sets hard. So you can do all the like twists and turns and like, you know, really cool structures with it. That's why I liked it. You know, I wasn't interested in, you know, making these, you know, 10 a penny, little tiny weenie things. I was there to make a statement, you know.
Totally. You can get those in Debenhams with the best of the world and House of Fraser, can't exactly. you? I mean, well, you could. Could get them in either, yeah. But yes, yeah, so, I mean, you want to go big or go home.
Exactly. And I think as well, like, you know, when you go to the races or you go to a wedding, I think, you know, even if you've got a fairly simple outfit, if you go like a bit crazy and a bit wild with your headpiece, it's a real, you know, it's a real statement, isn't it? And it's just fun. I mean, a lot of people, you know, people nowadays, you know, back in the olden days, like everyone wore hats. That was just like a normal thing, wasn't it? Whereas now, you know, it's quite unusual, really, isn't it, for people to wear hats just in everyday life, really.
I was literally having this conversation yesterday, and we were putting together some occasion outfits for a project I'm working on. And we were doing the wedding outfit, and they were like, do we have a hat? So, maybe not. And you're so right. The only occasion people tend to wear them now are the races.
Yeah, races.
So that you need to, go big. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Yeah. So have you ever, I mean, I don't know the answer to this, actually. I can't guess. Have you ever had a fashion crisis? Have you ever, any point in your adulthood, just thought, looked in the mirror and just thought, I don't know. I don't like this person looking back at me. I don't like any of this. I can't do it.
Yeah, like quite a few times, I think. And I think like throughout, certainly like adult life, you know, there's been times when I'm like, you know, really, really on it. And I'm just like loving fashions. And then there's times where I'm like, can't find anything. I don't really know what my style is. And, you know, and obviously like, you know, even like things like with lockdown, you know, like from what I was wearing prior to lockdown, you know, like going to work, going into the office, you know, making an effort, you know, being seen, to then kind of like being at home every day. Well, that kind of, my wardrobe just kind of really changed, you know, changed then again. I think being plus size as well, I think there's always, if you're a size 10, size 12 or whatever, you know, there's always going to be more choice, isn't there?
Yep.
So I think that's always, you know, there's always been that. And, you know, like, oh my God, like I can remember sometimes, you know, like going into town, you know, which should have been a really nice day, like going into town, like for lunch with friends and a few drinks, doing a bit of shopping, and they'd be like, oh, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. And then literally I'd be like, all right, well, I'll go in this shop and I've got to go right to the back of the shop.
Yeah.
Dowdy little grey dark corner with all this black sacks, you know, that are just
no shade.
Plus, or there's, you know, the standard t-shirt saying Amore on the front. And I'm like, oh my God, just because, you know, I'm a plus size woman does not mean I want to look like a nana on a cruise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. No, you're absolutely right. And do you think that's improved at all?
Yeah. Oh my God. I think definitely. I think there's definitely like a lot of brands now, you know, that are doing like more inclusive sizes, or they're doing, and I just think, you know, why even do like a separate curve range or a plus range? Just extend your sizes, you know, because just because I'm a size 20 or whatever, doesn't mean that I won't wear something that a size 10 person is going to wear, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, you don't have to, you know, obviously adapt the shape and adapt the pattern so it fits my body, but it don't mean that I'm not going to, you know, I will wear a bodycon dress, I'll wear something tight, I'll get my arms out, I'll get my legs out, whatever. But it's kind of like, don't, you know, you don't need to do something different. Just make bigger sizes in your clothes. That's all, you know, that's all I'm asking for, really.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But do you think a lot of that is because, you know, I mean, there are people like you out there, but in my experience, you know, the majority, so many people who are curvier are very much, you know, whether they've been told or whether it's the retailers that have dictated to them, it's, you know, you can't wear that stuff.
Oh my God. This,
you know,
so
it's, and it's, you know, you can't wear horizontal stripes, you can't wear a polo neck, you can't, all these things. And I just think it takes, so people are buying what they're told they should wear rather than actually anybody changing the narrative to actually say, you can wear whatever you want.
If you love it, wear it. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I'm seeing definitely more of that, like in the interior world.
Yes.
Where people are like, you know, there's always been these rules, like, oh, yes, you've always got to have a white ceiling. You've always got to paint your skirting boards and all your woodwork white. You know, you can't do this, you know, oh, if you're just going to go for a pattern, just make it like a really small and discreet, or one wall. And it's like,
yeah, only put one wall.
Why have we got all these rules? And it's the same with fashion. Like, oh God, you know, I can't, you know, I had loads of messages actually. I put something on Instagram a little while ago and I had this dress on and loads of people messaged saying, oh God, you're so brave, like, you know, getting your arms out. And I'm like, they're just arms. You know, we've all got arms, you know, they're just arms. They do the thing. I'm glad that I've got arms. It makes me,
yes,
you know, I can do everything that I want to do. And it's kind of like, and that is definitely a societal thing. And I think it's, you know, things where, you know, we've heard our mums say stuff, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, oh my God, like, why should you be brave just because you've got, you know, a body that you've got a bit of your body on show, kind of thing. But yeah, I think definitely like the internet has really like improved choice for, you know, for us like plus size women. You know, there's like loads of sites, you know, some of the big ones, ASOS or whatever, that you can go on and be like, right, I'm a size 20, what's new this week? And that for me is really, really handy, because I'm like, right, okay, I can see, you know, rather than actually, so I always do that. I always do it by, when I'm shopping, I do it by size when I'm on one of these websites.
Yes.
Because otherwise I think if I'm just looking at all like everything and then I like put in the size and then suddenly the 300 choices new this week has gone down to 50. When I put my size in. So I'd rather just not look at any of that. Just look at what I know I can order and buy and wear.
I think a massive difference as well is that pictorially now there are so many more positive images,
yeah,
of people of different sizes. Whereas before, even if they were advertising a size 16 or, you know, a size 22 dress, they'd have it on a size 14.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not inspiring to anybody.
It's so nice to actually, I think when you're buying clothes as well, and I do it on some sites where I kind of like look and then like, Some of the sites actually like show you then, like, you know, like real people, like,
yes,
like bought the outfit.
Yes.
And I'm like, that is what I love, because I kind of like to see just like, all right, okay, yeah, she looks a bit like, you know, my body shape, my body size, you know, that kind of thing. That's kind of going to, you know, look like that, you know, on me. And I just think as well, like, Instagram has just been amazing for, you know, for stuff like that, because you can kind of, you know, follow all these really inspirational people. And, you know, I do follow some of the fashion accounts that are like plus size, but, you know, some of that is actually really nice to see people, you know, doing well, modeling, you know, looking gorgeous and great and being interested in clothes that are bigger as well. So,
I mean, like you say, it's only more skin. I mean, that's literally all it is. And the world does not fall off its axis if you walk around, you know, with a tight pair of jeans. I mean, the amount of people that say to me, oh, I'm plus size, so I can't wear skinny jeans.
Like, yeah, get them on.
Why?
Come on, girl. The skinnier, the better.
So your fashion crisis, interestingly, was it sort of dictated by anything? Was it a particular, has it been predominantly down to a size issue?
So I think throughout my 20s, I was in a relationship that wasn't very good, really, quite a toxic relationship. And I kind of, during that time, kind of lost my way in life, really, lost my way, you know, in terms of who I was, who I wanted to be, you know, like what, you know, what my dreams and aspirations were and everything. And I guess part of that was I kind of lost interest really in fashion and kind of like, you know, because I didn't feel like myself.
We have got confidence.
I lost all my confidence. So then, you know, clothes that I was wearing were just like things that were easy, things that I was just like, but not things that I loved. And then I guess other times, I think when I was young, like I've got loads of, like I'm the biggest I've ever been now and I'm probably the most confident I've ever been. And I think that just comes with it, with age. But also I think what I do now is like, I actually just buy clothes that I really love. And whereas before, and you know, certainly when I worked at Harvey Nichols, like when I was like, you know, 18, 19, 20 or whatever, I literally would try on a load of clothes. I would buy the clothes that made me look the smallest. Regardless of anything else, that was my key goal, like, you know, back in those days. And I was like, I was small, I was like size 10, size 12. So I wasn't like looking at a garment or looking at a gorgeous dress and thinking, oh, I really love that dress. I was thinking, I bet that makes me look slim. And that would be my, you know, whereas now I'm like, bring out the, you know, the rainbow horizontal stripes and, you know, the bodycon. And it's like, this is not making me look smaller, but you know what? It's fun, and I really enjoy wearing it. So,
I mean, what? Yeah, it's a weird societal phenomenon that we have that, you know, you must look smaller.
Yeah,
it's just strange. So, speaking of that, I mean, who would you say is your style icon? I mean, who would you say now, if you could see anybody, and you are allowed to say the mirror?
Yeah.
You can.
I mean, gosh, I've got quite a few, but I mean, Iris Apfel is like just unreal, isn't she? She's like 100, was it like 100 once this year? And I love the way that she, you know, throughout her life, she's just been totally herself, hasn't she? And also what she does is obviously mix these like ridiculously like high-end couture with, you know, she goes into Brooklyn Market and gets like 3 necklaces for $1 and like literally just like mixes, you know, that whole... And I think that's so important to mix, you know, to mix stuff up, you know, whether it's fashion, interiors, whatever, you know, to kind of give that cool, like layered look. It's kind of nice to like drop a bit of vintage in there, a bit of designer, a bit of stuff. And it's, you know, we all love getting a bargain as well, don't we? So I just think, you know, that's quite exciting, you know, when somebody's like, oh my God, I love that outfit. And I'm like, well, actually, like I got this for like £2 from the charity shop.
Best thing ever. Do you think I think that's a really British thing though. If it's a really British thing, you go, I love your top. You're like, oh my God, it was £5.99 in the sale.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, it's so bobbly, it's awful. It doesn't even fit properly, it's gross. Oh, but thanks though.
Yeah, I've had it for absolutely, oh yeah, it's not new. So I've had it for ages. I know, it's brilliant, isn't it? She's actually in the book. She's actually in my book. She's she sums up for me, she epitomizes a style called eclectic vintage. And I just think it's more is more is more.
Oh my God, more.
But the great thing about her style, and I think yours as well, is that it's so personal. I mean, yes, you want people, no one else is going to have it. If you go to the, you know, you go to the, you know, the flea market and you get your charity shop bag, you've got,
yeah.
No one can recreate that. No one can look at that and say, oh yeah, you know, well, it's just so empowering to be able to put that on and look in the mirror and go, I love this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I do with clothes, and like sometimes this can become a bit of a regret, but every so often, so like every few months, I will have like a major clear out. It's same with my interiors, like it's kind of like a constant turnaround. So like, you know, new things will come in, old stuff I'll sell or they'll go to the charity shop. So it's kind of just ever evolving. But what that does mean is sometimes I'm kind of living with a bit of regret because I'm like, oh, where's that top? And I'm like, oh, bugger, I sold that, didn't I? Or like, oh, that went to the charity shop. I'm like, oh, I've got quite a massive wardrobe. So yeah, so I've just got to kind of keep, you know, keep turning things around. But I think I've been working with a professional organiser, which has kind of like changed my life a little bit. And she's like, Siobhan, you need to slow down, you know, slow down your spending and just buy by quality, you know, rather than quantity.
Well, I think it's also things that you know you will have.
And wear.
And that you will wear again and again and again. And that's quite hard for someone, you know, if you are a fashion magpie, that is quite tricky. It's, you know, you need to go with the wigs. I also think you've probably got so much, and as an eclectic vintage, you can mix things together.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's about reusing what you have and just re-wearing it.
What she did though, which was really, really good, is literally like organized all my jewelry. So I just had like boxes and boxes of jewelry. And you know what it's like?
It all gets tangled up.
Yeah, it gets tangled up. You can't see the wood for the trees. And then what happens is, you know, you're going off somewhere or you've got a shoot, you're looking for something and it's just all like scrabbled up. So now I've actually got a cupboard and a cabinet with all the drawers in, all separate. So literally like I've got all my earrings in one drawer, all my bangles in another, like all, you know, all my rings in another. So literally when I'm getting ready now, I'm like, right, get the outfit. I'm looking in the drawers and I can just put, you know, the accessories on that go with. And then what I've done with all my mannequin heads with my wigs on. So rather than just having like all my headbands, sunglasses, necklaces and everything in drawers or cupboards, they're all on my mannequin heads. So literally.
You've accessorized the mannequins. Oh, my Lord. I need a picture of that, please. I need a picture of the mannequins.
So I think for me, I think sometimes it's kind of like, if I can't see it, it doesn't exist, you know, or if I can't see it, I forget that I've got it.
Yes.
So that's why, like, now my wardrobe's a bit tidy. I'm saying that. I'm looking at my wardrobe. It's not as tidy as it was, obviously, when my organiser was here. But now, you know, I can kind of, like, all my jumpers are together, all my like, kind of, what I'm going to say, scruffs, but, you know, like, my tracksuits.
Yes, and that casual kind of, every day. Like, the stuff we live in.
All together. All my dresses are together and all my jackets are together. So now I can kind of be like, right, let's get a pair of pants, let's get a jacket, let's get a blouse, you know, and kind of, and I think that kind of makes me put together things in a better way as well, because I can kind of see it all. So I'm
being
like,
organized.
Oh, do you know what? I'm just going to try that shirt with that jacket. Oh yeah, that looks, you know, that looks quite good.
In your wardrobe of gloriousness as it is now, are there lurking, or have you sold or gifted, you know, put it to the charity shop, any massive fashion faux pas? Is there anything you look back and think, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I've got a few things actually. so, you know, like H&M do this, do these collaborations, don't they?
Yes.
And literally, they just sell out, don't they, within minutes.
Oh, my Lord. And then it's all on eBay. Yes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? So there was, so I went on last time. So there was like, oh, my God, like the most beautiful, I think, was it called something like Circular Design or something?
They did was that the unisex one?
They did like the polka dot, like beautiful, like polka dot dresses, like really like structured. Anyway, so they did this one and it's like, it was basically like this, a cream miniskirt and a cream top, but basically the top is just one big cream bow, like massive. Anyway, I bought a size 22 because I just thought the bow would be really, really tiny. It fits where it touches, but literally it's just, it doesn't actually look like I'm wearing any clothes. It just looks like I've got a bow on. So I think it'll be quite good for a photo shoot.
Have you still got it?
I've still got it, yeah. I've
oh my Lord, I need a picture of that, please. Have you ever worn it?
No, I've not worn it yet. I think I probably would wear it maybe on a shoe, but I just think, oh God, I just don't think even I would have the confidence to go out in it, because literally I think people would be like, oh my God, is she just like, where, is she just a present?
I need to see this. This sounds quite glorious. It sounds very usual. I mean,
the only thing is it's cream. I mean, if it'd be pink, then, you know, it's different. It's a different kettle of fish, isn't it?
You can dye this.
But that is my dream, to do my own collection.
Is it?
That is, yeah. So that is like something that I would love to do. And I'm going to manifest it.
Yes, do it.
I've been designing some pajamas and some like sleepwear and things like that. So I think that'll be my first like toe in the water.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, so that's quite exciting.
So what advice would you give if somebody else had, and there are people out there, there are many, many, many people out there for various reasons, and lockdown has been such a spanner in the works for so many people's confidence, I mean, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
What advice, if you could give one piece of advice to somebody who's lost their way, what would that be?
Yeah, I think I'd just like, look at people that you really love, like on Instagram, on social media, you know, some of your like style heroes and things like that. And you know, a lot of people now, you know, a lot of like fashion influencers will say like exactly what they're wearing, where they've got it from and things like that. So I think that'd be like my first port of call, just to kind of like have a look, and then maybe like think of a time when you was maybe like happy with your, like, you know, your fashion choices, or you know, bring out the photo albums and think, oh god, I really love that, or I really looked good when I was, you know, used to wear those dresses. Or you know, I think for a lot of us, you know, just in lockdown, you know, we've just been at home, haven't we? And it's kind of, you kind of think, well, who am I getting ready for? You know, it's kind of like, oh, you know. But actually, sometimes I must admit, when, you know, like even if I'm working just like in the office, I'll kind of just get ready, or I'll just even put like a nice top on or something, because it just makes you feel good, doesn't it? Sometimes, or you know, even if you just go into Asda.
It's so funny you should say that. So earlier on today, I had another jumper on, and I had a polo neck underneath it. And I was a bit hot, which is just not a good thing anyway. You know, when you're a bit hot, you're like, oh, a bit hot and bothered.
Yeah.
And I kept walking, but I've got a mirror in my hallway, and I kept walking past it. And I hadn't curled my hair. My hair was a bit ratty. And every time I looked, you have that.
Yeah.
And so I thought, sod this. I went, changed my jumper, curled my hair. It took 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I genuinely felt like a different person.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so true.
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends, and I mean, I don't do it every day, I've got to admit. And you know, like sometimes, so like the last couple of days I've been on a photo shoot, so I was like 3 hours yesterday in like hair and makeup. So yesterday I was looking good, and then today I was like, I can't be going through that. I'm not gonna be going through that again. Like literally, it's just, you know, I'm taking it easy today, I'm having a bit of a day off. But yeah, I've got like a few friends that do that every day. So every day they get showered, they do the hair, they blow dry it, put the makeup on, put a nice dress on or whatever, just to literally work at home. And, you know, they're like, and I'm like, I can't believe you do that every day. And they're like, if we don't do that every day, we're just not in that frame of mind, you know, like a work, you know, because obviously like when you're going into the office, you're not going to turn up in your trackies a lot of the time, are you? So they're like, we just have to do that as a, like a bit of a routine, and to kind of feel nice and feel like, right, okay, I'm ready. I'm kind of ready to face the day. And I think, you know, a lot of the time, makeup, hair, the clothes that we wear is a bit like our armor, isn't it? It's kind of,
so you know, true.
It makes us kind of feel different. And, you know, I always think, you know, whether it's an interiors fashion, you know, whether it's a body or a room, it's a blank canvas to me. So it's kind of, you know, what can you do with it? And you know, it's nice. And I think like nowadays I don't really particularly dress for anybody else, and certainly not, you know, for the opposite sex, you know, or anything like
that.
Yeah,
definitely.
But it's still nice, isn't it, when you know you go out and people are like, oh, you look nice, and you know, give compliments and get compliments, and you know, that's really nice. And obviously if I can, you know, inspire any, you know, I actually do get quite a lot of messages, you know, from people saying, do you know what, Siobhan, you've just inspired me to wear a bit more colour or be a bit more adventurous and things like that. And I just think, oh, well, that's great. You know, if it's just one or two people that, you know, can kind of take something from that and think,
definitely,
oh, well, she's like my size and she's wearing that, so I can, why not?
Oh, it's so, so true. And I don't think you'll be aware of how much an effect that does have on people. It really, really, really does. And I think it helps people focus.
Yeah.
I think it really, really helps people focus and actually understand that it's not fickle. It's not, you know, it's not vain. It's not vain to want to look good. It can really change your mindset.
Oh my God, absolutely. It can be a real mood changer. And you know yourself, sometimes, you know, when you're just not feeling it, or you're out and you're just like, you know, like something's not fitting quite right, or you're too hot or too cold, or you feel uncomfortable, or, you know, you just, but when you're like, when you're looking good, you just feel so much better, don't you? You know, and that's, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, it really can have an impact, definitely.
So finally, I'd love to know the outfit that you are going to haunt people in. The outfit, the last, your final, if you, the outfit they are going to bury you in, the one outfit that you love more than anything else in the world that you have to wear forever.
Well, do you know what?
It's not the bow, is it?
No, it's not the bow. When I was filming for Interior Design Masters, I was like, right, okay, I've got to have a showstopper of an outfit for like the first day that we were in the studio, because, you know, we got this like message from the producer saying, wear something that like reflects your personality, like who you are as a designer. And I was like, oh my God. So I was trawling high and low to try and find the most beautiful like rainbow outfit, basically. That's what I wanted. And it was Instagram that came to my rescue. Somebody that I was following had this. It was from Bowdoin, actually. I've never, ever bought anything from Bowdoin. And she had this Bowdoin dress on, full rainbow, like satin with a big pussy bow tie at the front. And I just thought, right, I've got to get that dress. Anyway, it came. And you know when you just like slip something on and it just like, you know, when you just like do the zip up, like so like perfectly. And I was just,
yes.
Oh my God, this was meant to be. This is just like perfect. And literally, like, I just tried it on and I was like, I didn't even have my hair or my makeup done. And I was like twirling around the house. I was like, oh my God, I found the dress. And I think as well, because that was so scary, you know, like walking into a studio with like 9 other people and like, you know, a competition, you know, cameras yes. are on, and been like, I hope they're all not going to be like, you know, awful. You know, they're going to be nice people because I'm going to be like working with them like all the time. That was my full confidence dress. And I can remember like a few weeks later, Paul, one of the other contestants, one of the designers on the show, said, Siobhan, when I saw you, I just thought you just looked like a life-size Barbie doll and I just wanted to be your friend. And I was like, oh, well there you go.
There we go. A mission accomplished. Life-size Barbie doll. My work here is done.
So it's funny because I've not worn it for ages. And I keep like kind of putting it on my pile of like, do I get rid? And I'm like, no. Then it just like kind of goes back in my wardrobe.
Never.
There's going to be another time that I might need that confidence.
Oh my Lord. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so, so, so much. It's been absolutely fantastic. I cannot thank you enough for all your tips and tricks and for all your stories. Thank you. Thank you so much,
Siobhan. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Thank you. See you later.